The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am president and CEO of Friedman Financial, which is located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right near the North Shore Mall. We've been there since 1968, long time being providing financial advice in a language individuals and families can understand who live all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and in the Southern New Hampshire area. We are delighted to be here on the radio once again this Sunday morning with you. I'm here, like I said, each and every Sunday from 7:30 to 8:30. Periodically, we bring in guests, but more importantly, we want to talk to you, talk to the listeners, and provide them with answers to your financial planning questions. You know, this isn't just an investment show, folks. This is not about, you know, where the market's going, what's going on up and on a day-to-day basis. I want to give you some thinking points. I want to give you some stuff to really consider and ponder as you begin to plan for your financial future. Many people who listen to this show are generally between the ages of 55 and 75, and if I could even further down the demographic, not dumb down the demographic, further shape the demographic, let me guess, if you're listening to this show right now, maybe you're between the ages of 55 and 75. Perhaps you own your home. Perhaps you're married. Maybe you spend, in retirement, you hope to spend somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. Think about that. That's spending, not what your take-home pay is, what not what you make on an annual basis, what you're going to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. And your total net worth, if you added up everything you own, that includes your bank accounts, 401ks, investment accounts, insurance, annuities, your boat, your car, whatever it might be, and then subtract out the things you owe. That would mean your mortgage, perhaps a car payment. God forbid you have large credit card bills. I'd hate to think that you still carry those. But let's say when you add up everything you own, subtract out everything you owe, my guess is your net worth is somewhere between $500,000, that's $500,000, and $2 million. That's generally the demographic of the folks that are listening to this show, and I see that on a regular basis because more and more people are knocking on our door at Friedman Financial in Peabody and saying, hey, I'd like to set up an initial consultation because for whatever reason, the information that we've provided to you resonates a bit. You say to yourself, you know, I've been working with a whole bunch of these different types of investment people. I have a little money here, a little money there. I've done some stuff on my own. I get advice from a friend, from a neighbor, from a relative, from a coworker, whatever it might be. And now all of a sudden I'm beginning to approach retirement or I'm in retirement and I'm a little nervous because everything's all over the place and I don't know how to manage it all. I don't know how to put it all together. I don't know who can give me that financial peace of mind so that I know that I have the resources adequately allocated so that I can provide the income that I need in retirement. So many people are knocking on our door because they know that that's exactly what we do on a very regular basis. So if we can be of help to you, I'd love to meet with you. Feel free to give my office a call. It's 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you'd like to learn a little bit more about our firm, you can visit our website at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. One other thing that I'd like you to know before we get on with the show is that each and every Friday we provide a newsletter. That newsletter is called Planning Pointers, and it comes out at 10:30 in the morning, delivered directly to your inbox of your email system. If you'd like to get our free newsletter, and I promise you this does not come with any type of solicitation. I don't follow up with that. It's totally information, news you can use, little pieces of information that will really help you with your financial planning decision making. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You click on the button that says sign up for the newsletter, and all it's going to do, it's going to ask you for your name, for your email address, and maybe how you heard about us. And you can certainly select the drop-down menu that says North Shore 104.9. That's where you heard about us. So let's get on with the show. this past month of October has been relatively erratic. It's been, if you follow the markets, if you follow the news, if you follow what's going on in the world, it's been a little scary. I mean, yeah, this whole Ebola scare caused a lot of panic in the marketplaces. I mean, people didn't know what to expect. The markets responded negatively to the feedback, and it was exacerbated by some speculation that was out there about how bad this disease, this killer disease, could spread throughout our country and the impact it could have. As we well know, it's been relatively contained. We've learned a lot more about this disease over the past few weeks, and it's not nearly as a serious concern for epidemic than it might have felt like a few weeks ago. However, the markets responded very erratically. It was scary. And, you know, if you think about it, October, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you go back over the years, October has always been a very volatile month in the marketplace. And no wonder. I mean, hey, at the end of this month, we just had Halloween. I mean, it ties into a lot of scary things that go on through the month of October. It's a period of change, period of upheaval, period of, you know, all of the upheaval. Think about some of the stuff that you have to do. You actually have to go into your closets and pull out all your summer stuff and bring out the winter stuff. You got to turn off the air conditioner and put on the heater. There's lots of changes that go on in your own household, lots of changes that go on in the economy, lots of changes that go on throughout the world. I mean, look, I don't know about you, but it seems like there are more and more shootings these days that get mentioned on the news, just shootings in schools. I mean, think about what happened in the state of Washington this past week. Think about what's happening all around this country. It's scary, and so it keeps the markets on edge as well, and it gets people nervous. But I'll tell you this. One of the things that I've learned is that most of these issues are very short-term driven. And when markets respond negatively, you have to ask yourself, is this a long-term market problem? Or is it a short-term market problem? Look, our market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, hit something like, I want to say 17.2, 17.3. It was up there. It might have even been higher than that, for all I know. I don't watch the market on a day-to-day basis, and frankly, nor should you, because it really doesn't matter on a daily basis. But I will tell you this. The market dipped below 16,000 sometime this month. That's a $1,200 to $1,400 drop over a period of time that was this month. And so when someone tells you, oh, my goodness, the market dropped 1,400 points, what does that really mean? What does that really mean that the market dropped 1,400 points? Is that cause for alarm? Well, if the market was currently at 3,000 and it dropped 1,400 points, yeah, that would be cause for alarm. That would be close to a 50% drop. But the market's not at 3,000. The market was at a high of 17 and change, and it dropped back 1,400 points. That's not that big of a deal. In fact, it's less than 10% pullback. Yet when you see the numbers down 300, down 400, down 250, up 175, and back and forth like that, and the news media uses terms like crash, plummet, soars, plunges, all of those different types of terms, it gets people scared. So people ask us, Mark, was your phone ringing off the hook over the past few weeks? How busy was it? What questions were people calling you about? And to be very honest with you, we got very few calls. And that may or may not come as a surprise to you. Maybe you didn't feel threatened, but there were a lot of people that were nervous out there. Certainly, if you measured the media content that was out there, the threatening and scary predictions that people were having, whether it was on CNBC, whether it was on MSNBC, CNN, it doesn't really matter. It was a lot of scary stuff out there. But why didn't people get scared this time? Certainly, why didn't people that are clients of ours get scared this time? Because you know what? We begin to realize that investing is for the long term. If we didn't expect the markets to drop on a periodic basis, then investing would be easy. You wouldn't need a financial advisor. You wouldn't even need a variety of different financial services companies. You just do it on your own. You figure, you know, if everything goes up, everything goes up. But this is unlike what happened in 2007 and 2008. I want you to think about this. What caused the markets to drop in 2007, 2008? The number one reason that the markets dropped so significantly and were sustainably down for a period of time was because there were some fundamentally things that were wrong in our economic framework. The credit system in America was broken. What that means is that people were unable, banks were unwilling to lend money. People were unable to get money that they needed to buy a home, to furnish, to fund a business. People were getting laid off because the markets were down. There was fundamentally things that were broken here in America. And it took a long time for it to recover itself. And until we felt like there was some framework, some strategy, some foundational picture to rebuild ourselves, the market was going to stay down. That's not what it's like today. Today, it's a lot, frankly, more simple and safer. We don't have the worries of our financial framework, of our credit systems breaking down. Yeah, there are some people that are very upset that they can't get a mortgage right now like they could have gotten 5 years ago. But you know what? You can't get a mortgage because the bank doesn't want to take the risk on you anymore. It's that simple. If you can't present a good risk to a bank, why should they risk their money with you? You know, we have to do a better job of being responsible for our own actions. And unfortunately, the banks were irresponsible and we were irresponsible. I think there were a lot of people who were irresponsible in 2008 as well, including besides ourselves and the banks. I think the lawyers were irresponsible. I think the bankers were irresponsible. We were all irresponsible because those that were selling the loans were making money, whether you were able to pay back the mortgage or not, certainly on an upfront basis. The lawyers were going to get paid up front. The banks said, we're willing to take the risk. So everybody was in on it. But nobody realized the extent of the leverage that was going on in the credit markets. Certainly none of us even understood what leverage even meant. No one understood what credit default swaps meant. And we're certainly not going to get into that on a show like this. Because, frankly, it's beyond the scope of what you and I need to deal with on a regular basis. As long as we can be responsible with our money, we can make smart and sound financial decisions. If we don't worry about what everybody else is thinking and do what's best for our own situation, you're going to do just fine. And in the segments that follow in today's show, I'm going to give you some of those strategy points. We're going to talk about some of the financial mistakes that people continue to make, some of those scary financial mistakes, especially since we're in this Halloween kind of theme anyways. And I'm going to talk to you about the mistakes, and I'm going to show you how you can do things differently and how to look at some stuff from a different framework. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I said we're going to jump into a bunch of different financial statistics, lots of stuff that we've talked about in the past, but I'm going to try to bring it to life. I want you to begin to really understand how you can be rational during some seriously emotional times. We'll be right back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's
what I want. Hey, folks, Billy Costa here. And if you're like me, well, you're a creature of habit. You tend to go to the same places, the same restaurants, the same bars. Let's face it, we all have the same hairstylist. Well, I've got one more to add to the list, and it's Ghibli's Fine Men's Clothing. And I've got the owner, Alan Ghibli, with me right now. And Alan, how big is your store?
Now, I can tell you it's one of the largest stores for men in New England,
if not the world. Now, you've got a Tommy Bahama store actually within the store, right?
We do. 1,200 square feet of all Tommy Bahama.
But you've got dozens of other brands.
We do, like Paul and Shark, Robert Graham, Canali, Brioni. But the most exciting thing is I'm always bringing in new, young lines.
And what I love about Ghibli's, Alan, is it's almost like you've got your own personal shopper. I mean, they can actually call ahead and you'll pull their sizes and everything out in advance, right?
We can. We lay it out on our pool table, anything they liked the last time, the jeans they wore, the brands they liked. Call us and we'll set it all up for you.
Oh, and the alterations are free, right?
Always free at Ghibli's. Parking?
Always free. That's Ghibli's.
85 Andover Street, Route 114 in Danvers.
So go to Ghibli's.com.
Hi, my name is John Ruggieri. I am an owner of Ruggieri's Roast Beef and Seafood at 170 North Main Street in Middleton, Mass. We are a roast beef, seafood, and pizzeria. Specialize in hand-carved roast beef sandwiches, Italian-style pizza, also Sicilian pan pizza, hand-carved roasted turkey sliced right in front of you and put on any kind of sandwich that you want. We hand-make our own arancinis, or better known as rice balls. Our marinara sauce is made fresh daily. It's my grandmother's recipe. Our meatballs, hand-rolled, personally by me. 2 miles north of Middleton Center. We deliver as far as Merrimack College, all the way to Route 1 in Danvers, out to the edges of Oxford and North Reading. We can be reached at 978-777-9800. We also offer Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 595 Cheese Pizza. You can also find our menu on our website, Ruggieri's.com.
Stop by and say hi to the Ruggieri brothers, Anthony and John.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in part two of our four-segment show that appears every Sunday from 7:30 to 8:30 right here on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, which is located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We run a financial planning and investment management shop. We've been doing so since 1968. You'll find very few small independent financial planning firms that have been around that long. The firm was frankly started by my father in 1968. I was 2 years old at the time. I joined the firm in 1991 and have taken over the firm in 2007. My dad retired. I now run the firm with my business partner, Marion Gilman. And it's just a small shop. There's five of us. Everyone asks, how many clients do you have, Mark? You know, you do this big radio show. How many clients do you have? How much money do you manage? All that kind of stuff. Well, let me give you some perspective. We have 450 households as clients. Nothing too significant. You ask a lot of financial advisors out there, they'll tell you they have thousands of clients. I'm not interested in thousands of clients. We want to take care of our 450 households. We'll add a few more every single year, and we'd love to have you as part of that group. We manage a little bit more than $300 million for our clients. $300 million. You divide 300 by 450, you can do the math, and you can see what the average account size is that a household has with our firm. The way our firm works with every person that we bring on to our firm is it starts with a free initial consultation. And as a listener to the show, you're invited to visit with us and come to and experience a free initial consultation. We're happy to provide you and send you our information kit. If you'd like one, all you need to do is give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You give the office a call, we send you the kit, we schedule an appointment. Our first appointment runs about an hour. What happens during that first appointment, people wonder? Well, really, it's an opportunity for us to get to know you and you to get to know us. We talk a little bit more about our process, and we talk a little bit about what your experience has been as it relates to preparing for your financial future. I will tell you, many people that come to our office have one of a few different reasons for why they're here. Number one, there's a triggering event. That triggering event could be you've been laid off from your place of employment. You're about ready to retire. There's been a death in the family. You've received an inheritance. Those, or in some cases, their financial advisor that they were working with has left. Another reason why people come to see us is they say, you know what, Mark? I've got stuff scattered all over the place. And I know I can put this all together, but I'm still not convinced that I'm going to do it right. And I want somebody that can help me get my financial house in order. And that's not just including not talking about my investment accounts. It's talking about someone to take a look at my automobile policy, my homeowner's policy. Do I have the right life insurance? Do I need long-term care insurance? Do I know when to take distributions from my IRAs? What do I do with all those 401k plans that are scattered all over the place? I have a pension that I might be entitled to since I was a teacher or a firefighter or whatever it might be. Lots of questions. When should I take Social Security? How much do I need to cover my expenses in retirement? All of those questions and more are items that we talk about and we try to build a strategy for you to help you crystallize and see what your situation looks like. And how do we do that? Well, it's manyfold. One of the ways that we do that is through what I call a SWOT analysis. It's nothing fancy. It comes out of every business school student does this. We try to identify where your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and threats exist. And we go through your entire financial situation and put everything out to you in writing. One of the things that our clients really enjoy is the fact that the advice that we provide to you is written by either myself or my business partner, Marion. This is not coming out of some boilerplate software system. It's not coming out of some questionnaire that says, well, based upon the way you answer these six questions, here's what your result is. We build customized portfolios. We embrace your existing investment accounts rather than saying, oh, if you want to work with us, you need to sell everything. That's not the case at all. We want to work with you. We want to make things comfortable. And frankly, the number one reason why people stay, and it's really enlightening when I hear many people say, well, if something were to happen to either myself or my spouse, I want to be sure that the survivor knows that there's somebody else that knows everything else about our financial life. That's what a great financial planner does. That's what certified financial planners do. We'd be happy to help you, but if you're working with a certified financial planner that does that, then I'm thrilled. I'm glad you're getting the advice that you deserve. All right. Some of the things we want to talk about today in the show, with it, you know, Halloween being Friday, this month of October being very erratic, very scary. We've seen lots of people watch their account values drop as much as 7 or 8% over the past month. But folks, as you well know, for those of you that were patient, for those that didn't panic, for the most part, it's come back, as we expected. See, long-term investing is all about investing for the long term, not worrying about the day-to-day fluctuations that go on, not worrying about the news, the media, the short-term events that have a beginning period and an end period to it. That's what we've gone through here. Yeah, Ebola was a scary period of time here, and it still exists to somewhat, but it's been contained. It's not growing to epidemic proportions here in the United States, though I think we all have our own personal feelings as to how we would have liked to have seen this thing controlled a little bit better. But that's out of our hands. You know that. That's just for great coffee talk conversation. We're also in the midst right now of an election that's about to roll in on Tuesday. Look, there's a lot of candidates, a lot of change that's likely to happen both at the state and federal level. There's a lot of people. We got a governorship election. We've got elections for representatives. We've got lots of different elections that are going on here in this country. And there could be a change in the tide, a change in the majority rule. And you know what? There's not much going on right now in the markets that are that volatile in the a few days that are leading up to this election that say that they're expecting anything that would be unexpected. So I'd like to think that most of this election stuff is pretty well in hand right now. The consensus is that who people say are leading in each of these election polls, I think everyone feels pretty comfortable that that's who's going to win. I don't think you're going to see any surprises. I think John Tierney was a big surprise. Frankly, I was delighted to see that he lost. I think Seth Moulton will be a great candidate and competitor for Richard Tesei. But I also think Richard Tesei is a fabulous and outstanding candidate for the representative position. So a lot of changes, but I think a lot of that was done early on. As we head into this election right now, I think the statements have been made, and I really think that it's pretty clear who the winners are going to be moving into Tuesday. So that doesn't make it too scary, but here's some things that are pretty scary. Take a look at the cost of Halloween. Look, we've seen, you know, Christmas. We know Christmas is expensive. Thanksgiving, I think, is one of the best holidays of the year because it's just about family. It's about people coming together. But, oh, my goodness, has Halloween changed? Has the cost of Halloween just exploded? Now, granted, if you go by my house, you will see that my house is very well decorated for Halloween. We have lots of blow-ups in our front yard. We have lights. We have all sorts of stuff out there. Now, people say, Mark, why do you decorate up so much for Halloween in my neighborhood? First of all, we've got a great neighborhood for trick-or-treating. We'll have some 150 kids that'll come through our house. But being Jewish, this gives me my excuse. I can go ahead and decorate up my house for Halloween. We don't decorate it up for Christmas. But here's some statistics that might be of interest to you. The amount of money spent on Halloween has actually dropped a little bit for 2014. It was at its highest in 2012. Over $8 billion was spent on Halloween-related items. That might include costumes, pumpkins, candy, things like that. In 2013, it dropped to $6.9 billion, and this year in 2014, it's expected to be $7.4 billion. So let me ask you this. Here's what's kind of interesting. The question is how much money did you spend this year on costumes, pumpkins, or candy? Okay, so in 2014, it's expected that the average person will spend somewhere around $20 for a costume. They'll spend $17 for pumpkins and roughly $33 for candy. At least that's the way the colors roll out here. I, I tend to dispute those colors, to tell you the truth. I think you spend the most on costumes rather than you do on candy. But still, that's average of $77 per person on Halloween-related stuff. Think about that. How many, you know, was that in your budget? Were you planning on putting $77 times the number of kids you have, plus yourself perhaps? Because have you seen some of these adult costumes lately, the adult Halloween parties? So let's talk about what are some of the top-selling costumes for this year. If you really want to be scared, or who's coming out scary, actually, there's really not many scary costumes. The Disney princesses, of course, are huge. There's a lot. You'll see a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I bet you'll see a lot of Elsa, Anna, and Olaf. Do you know who Elsa, Anna, and Olaf are? Perhaps you don't. If you haven't seen the movie Frozen, it's probably Disney's hottest, most successful Disney movie in a very long time. Those characters are going to be very popular. But then there's the others. People seem to think you're going to see a lot of zombies this year because Walking Dead has been a huge and very successful cable show. And you'll see a lot of people dressed up as zombies. Some of it could be rather grotesque. And, of course, you can always have your traditional superheroes because everybody wants to either be Superman, Spider-Man, etc. So a couple other things. I was amazed. First of all, there's over 1 billion pounds of pumpkins that are sold every year, generating about $100 million in revenue. I was actually floored when I went to the store with my kids to go buy pumpkins. I was amazed at how much money we were going to spend. We spent like $40 on pumpkins. I just thought that was outrageous. But it is what you do, right? It's one of those things that you do for the holidays and stuff. Okay, so that's scary. But here's something that's even scarier. Here's something that's even scarier. It's the financial literacy we have in America. Man, does that drive me nuts. When I listen, even I listen to my own kids talk about their understanding of financial literacy, and I'm a financial planner. And we talk about what kids know, and not even what kids know, but what adults even know, and how they decide to make smart, informed financial decisions. Some of it is just incredibly distorted and very strange how we justify some of the decisions that we make. I want to talk a little bit about that. It's called financial literacy and why we need it. And let's talk a little bit about that as this is the scary month of October. Well, actually, we're now in November, but we've had the scary month of October. Let's move forward. Let's begin to prepare for the years to come. When we come back, we're going to talk about financial literacy and why we need it. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Shore Music Theater presents a brand new production of the international smash hit Les Miserables.
I had a dream my life would be.
See this smash hit musical live on stage as you have never seen it before.
One day more.
A thrilling, spectacular, and unforgettable classic, Les Miserables is the world's most popular musical, filled with the music that has taken the world by storm.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men?
An epic and uplifting five-star hit, Les Miserables is a true theatrical legend. Les Miserables plays North Shore Music Theater from October 28th through November 16th only. Tickets are selling fast, so get yours soon. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Abiomed.
No worries, no schedules, and no commotion. Wouldn't that be a great way to enjoy your retirement? Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody, and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sunday mornings from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. Retirement is filled with rewards, but there's lots of confusing information out there about IRAs, 401ks, and Social Security benefits. You know, planning for retirement can be downright frightening. Isn't it time you got financial advice in a language you can understand? For over 40 years, we've helped individuals and families like you wade through the minutiae and focus on the big picture. If you're ready to get serious about your retirement plan, let's meet and discuss investment strategies that are right for you. For a free initial consultation or an information kit, call me at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Friedman Financial is an SEC-registered financial advisor. You're listening to the North Shore's number one station for good time favorites and fun all weekend long. WBOQ Gloucester.
Your good time favorites, North Shore 104.9.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's just a little after the top of the hour. It's Saturday, November 2nd. Hope you had... No, I'm sorry, it's not Saturday. Today's Sunday. Man, I'm just... You know what? It's this whole turn back the clocks thing. I'm really screwed up. Hopefully, you're up with me this morning. It's 8 o'clock right now. If your clock says 9 o'clock, you forgot to turn your clock back. All right, this is just too much. You know, you'll get caught up throughout the course of the day. Because you know what today is? The Patriots play at 1 o'clock. And so you want to be sure that you get this game in because, hey, was that a great game last Sunday? Boy, I mean, the Patriots continued to score and score and score. They looked really good against the Bears. I don't know how well they're going to look, though, against the Denver Broncos. So we'll see how that game goes this Sunday. I'm actually heading out to Foxborough today to see the game, and I'm looking forward to that. That should be a fun day. Anyways, we've been talking today about scary financial mistakes people make. We've been talking about why the market's been so volatile over the past month, and the fact that October is generally one of the craziest months of the year. Why that is, you know, anyone can speculate why that could be. It just is. But does that mean that the month of October is the time to cash out and then get back in another time? Absolutely not. Anybody that tells you that buying and selling and trading and all that kind of stuff makes sense is crazy. Find somebody who has successfully done that on an ongoing basis, not just over the past couple of years, but over the past 10 years, past 15 years, past 20 years, you won't find anybody that's done it. You won't find anybody that's done it. You know what's kind of also interesting? Here's something that's pretty scary. Most of the time when economists get up at the beginning of the year and they talk about their predictions for the year, and they'll give you like my 10 picks or my 10 predictions for the upcoming year, did you know that they're likely to only get 5 or 6 of them right? And those are the really good economists. So is it worth building a strategy on their 10 strategies for the upcoming year? I don't know. I don't know if you can do, I think it's proven that you can do equally as well in investing your money than most economic professionals if you stick to the basic, simplest, most unexciting investment approaches. The number one approach is asset allocation, making sure that you have some investments in the stock market, some investments in the bond market, and of course some money in cash. And always to look at your overall financial well-being from the big picture, not just from an individual account. Take an assessment of where your money is now. Maybe you have in your 401k, maybe you were invested 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market in your 401k. And that might look nice on a pie chart if that investment account stands alone. But now take that investment account and layer that with all of your other investment accounts. Layer that also with the amount of money that you have in the bank. Layer that also with the real estate that you own. Perhaps it's in your home, perhaps it's in other forms of real estate. Now what does your asset allocation look like? One of the smartest things that you could ever do is to build an asset allocation picture for your net worth, not just for your investment account. Because the minute you start tweaking changes to one investment account, you don't realize how big or little of an impact it's having on your overall financial well-being. Those that view their financial life from the perspective of their net worth fare far better than those who choose to just wing it or take the advice on a passerby, take the advice on a Twitter post, take the advice on something they hear on CNBC or CNN or Bloomberg or wherever it might be. You need to be rational. That's one of the scariest things that I see. I see so many people come to our office, listeners to our show call in and they say, Mark, you know, I used to be invested in the stock market. I used to have this investment portfolio, but it was starting to go down, so I got out. I put everything into cash. And so I want to try to get back into the stock market. And one of the things that I'm thinking about doing is I heard about this new stock called Alibaba. Or I heard about this new stock called Twitter. And I want to know what you think about it. Should I allocate some money? And I'm thinking to myself, you just went from an overall invested portfolio including that included a significant amount of mutual funds, both stocks and bonds. Chances are if you left it alone, you'd be doing just fine. But you chose to go to cash because you were scared of losing your money. Yet you think that because the prospects for a stock like Alibaba or Twitter or any stock for that matter looks exciting, you're willing to risk your money in and buy that stock. And you'll say, oh, it's not that much. I just want to put $5,000 or $10,000 in. I don't care what you put in. That's a stupid mistake. That's a scary mistake. You need to build a foundation of investments before you start, you know, to potentially throwing your money out the window at individual aggressive stocks. Here's another scary thing that I see. I'll see a client that will, or somebody that comes to us and they say, Mark, I've got a $20,000 investment. It's in a bunch of mutual funds. Last year, all I made was $800 on my mutual fund. This mutual fund's no good. I said, why? They said, all I made was $800. Yeah, but that's 4%. What were you hoping to make on your mutual fund? And people will say, well, I don't know, but I know I want to make more than $800. We have to stop measuring our success or our failures in the amount of money we made or lost over the course of a year or a period of time. You know, if you were invested in the month of August and then watched your statement at the end of September, you probably saw the value of your account drop 2 or 3% because the market was erratic. Now, a drop of 2 or 3% could be hundreds of thousands of dollars if you have millions invested. And let's say you have a $500,000 investment portfolio and you lost 3%. You would have lost $15,000. And you might say, oh my God, I just lost $15,000. What am I going to do? $15,000 and $500,000 is nothing. Don't get me wrong. $15,000 is money. If you saw it on the ground, you'd absolutely pick it up. It's a lot of money. But losing $15,000 when your portfolio is $500,000, it's not a big deal. Losing $15,000 when you have $100,000 and you lose that $15,000 in a month, that's a bigger deal because that's 15%. And what if you had a $50,000 investment and you lost $15,000? Well, you just lost almost 30% of the value of your account. You have to put everything into perspective when you're investing. Stop looking at it from the dollar perspective and think about it from the percentage perspective. And before you start saying you did really well for the month, for the year, for the 5 years, for the 10 years, be sure you understand what your goal was in the first place. Was it your expectation that you were going to get 15% a year on your investments? I sure hope not. Because 15% a year is achievable generally when you're willing to be super aggressive. And nobody consistently gets 15% a year. Even if you are being super aggressive, chances are there were periods of time or a year or so where you might have been up 30, 40, or 50%. And then other periods of time when you were down 20, 30, and 40%. But over that 3 year, over that 5 year, over that 10 year period of time, you averaged 15. You may recall we've talked about this chart that I share all the time on this radio because it's something that I just think is critically important for your understanding of where markets go. This report was done, and I have it in my book as well. It looks back 86 years. It looks back 86 years on the S&P 500 or the index that was used that was similar to the index 500, the S&P 500 prior to its inception. And what it asks is, what was the performance, the annual performance, each year going back to 29, but I don't have the number exactly in front of me. From 1929 to 2013, what was the performance of the S&P 500? There were certain years when it was up 5%, some years when it was down 10%, other years when it was up 30%. And so they just line them all up, the whole list. You can just see what the performance was from the past 87 years. Now, everybody hears this statistic that says, well, over the long term, the S&P 500 has performed at 10.2%. Or actually, I think in the last couple of years, it's closer to 9-point-something percent. But the reality is that many people suspect that if they invest in the S&P 500, that's what they're going to get on an annual basis, somewhere around 9%. Well, here's the truth, folks. I want you to think about that whole list going back to 1920. I think it was 1929. It might be 1930-something, but it's a long time ago, 36 years. How many times over that 86-year period of time did the S&P 500 actually finish on a calendar year, January to December, actually have a year when it produced a return between 5 and 10%? How many times out of the 86 years did it come out with a result of between 5 and 10%? What do you think? If you've been listening to the show, you already know the answer. Believe it or not, folks, the answer is 7. It's not 50 times. It's not 50% of the times. It's not 25% of the times. It's 7 years out of 87. So in order to get that 9%, that 8%, whatever it is that you're looking for, you have to recognize that over the long term, you got to deal with performance numbers that are going to be higher and performance numbers that are going to be lower. But here's what's really fascinating. Never in the 87 years did the market have a negative calendar year of less than 50%. And never did the S&P 500 have a calendar year performance of greater than 55% in any given calendar year. So what does that tell you? If you invested in the stock market, invested in the S&P 500, and we're using that purely as a benchmark here, as a proxy, if you will, how many times, if you invested in the S&P 500, did you lose all your money? The answer is never. Never. Because think about why you could never lose your money if you were invested in a collection of stocks, the 500 blue chip stocks that are out there. Why would you never lose any money? Because you know what? Yeah, there'll be a few companies in that group that could potentially go out of business, and they would be worth zero. But what about all the others? They may perform poorly. They may perform well. They may take advantage of the fact that some of those poor performers or bankrupt companies lost customers and they picked up the new customers. That's why you and I have no business buying individual stocks. We should be buying mutual funds, a collection of mutual funds, an array of mutual funds that cover all the entire spectrum of asset allocation, large cap, small cap, mid cap, value companies, growth companies, international companies, emerging markets companies. If you own that wide spectrum, and that's only for, I would say, 50, 60, or 70% of your money. If you're a little bit younger, if you're under, say, 50 years old, perhaps you even put a greater percentage into stocks, or stock funds, I should say. But people are, the scariest thing that I see is that people are not being, frankly, aggressive enough with their money. They're putting too much money in the bank, getting 0% interest. If you think the bank's making money on you, they're making money other ways. And we'll get back to that. Actually, let me tell you about how banks are making money. So I'm going to tell you about a story that I heard last week that might shock you. So we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you this bank story. I'm going to tell you a few other things. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater presents a brand new production of the international smash hit, Les Miserables.
I had a dream my life would be.
See this smash hit musical live on stage as you have never seen it before.
One day more.
A thrilling, spectacular, and unforgettable classic, Les Miserables is the world's most popular musical, filled with the music that has taken the world by storm.
Do you hear the people sing? Singing the song of angry men. It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again.
An epic and uplifting five-star hit, Les Miserables is a true theatrical legend. Les Miserables plays North Shore Music Theater now through November 16th only. Tickets are selling fast, so get yours soon. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Abiomed.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in the tail end of our one-hour show. Hope you're having a great weekend. Hope your kids finally fell asleep after doing all of that trick-or-treating. The candy rush is over. And I suspect you've got plenty of buckets of candy hanging all over the place. Hey, just so you know, one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting was a statistic that came out. What do you think is the number one candy given out? The number one candy given out at Halloween. You know what it is? I was kind of surprised by that. The number one candy given out is Reese's. Now, the reason that that surprises me, with all the kids that have peanut allergies, my kids included, I got two kids with peanut allergies, I'm amazed at the amount of Reese's that still get sold in America. Now, coming in a very close second, there's expected to be $509 billion. $509 billion in Reese's, I'm sorry, $509 million in Reese's sales this year. But M&M's. M&M's come in a very close second place at $500.8 million in sales. So there's from the most popular candies, you got Reese's is number one. M&M's is number two. You know what number three is? Once again, another peanut product, Snickers, at $456 million. So I just think that's kind of fascinating. With all these allergies that are out there, two of the three most popular candies out there have peanuts in them. So, I mean, I think every school these days has a peanut-free table. Every elementary school, every middle school, every camp you go to, every daycare. Think about it. They all have peanut-free. Oh, they have just, we're a peanut-free school. But still, we continue to buy. Okay. That's the choices that we make. That's what America is all about. And we are freedom of choice is what it's all about here. But let's talk about some scary financial mistakes that I see. And I also promised you, those that were listening to us, listening in the last segment, I wanted to tell you about a story that I heard at a meeting I was at a couple weeks ago. And it talked about banks. Here's the deal. There is more money sitting in bank deposits right now. Money markets, checking accounts, savings accounts, than really there's ever been in the history of banks. Everybody wants their money in banks. They think it's safe. And what's interesting is that there's so much money in banks, and how much interest do you get on your money? You get next to nothing. And in many cases, at the end of the day, for most people, it's negative. Now, why is it negative? Well, here's something that I learned from a couple bank presidents that I spoke to that own smaller banks. They told me the reality is that if it wasn't for bank fees, most banks would go out of business. Every time you overdraft your check, every time you use an ATM that's not affiliated with that bank, every time you make a mistake, or sometimes people even charge you to go up to the teller window. You know how they advertise this whole free checking thing? Everyone wants to run for free checking. They'll give away the checks because they know that you're going to make banking mistakes. They're counting on it. They won't advertise that, but they're actually counting on your stupidity. And that's the way banks are staying in business. Banks are not existing today because of their ability to lend money to other people. They can't make enough money on the margins alone. Think about this. If you were to go to the bank and say, hey, I need to borrow $250,000 for a mortgage for my house, and they'll give you a mortgage for 4%. Remember, if they're going to lend you money at 4%, they need to be making money on other money that they have so that they can they can support themselves. Because what happens if you say, well, I can't pay my mortgage back? The bank is out $250,000, right? What if there's a whole bunch of people that can't pay it back? Then the bank goes out of business. So the bank has to figure out other ways to make money. And the way that the banks make money, the way that the banks allow themselves to sustain themselves is bank fees. You've seen how long that list is. Every year you get a statement from the bank that says, here are the fees that we can charge you, whether it's wire fees, low balance fees, transaction fees, whatever it might be. But the number one place where banks are making money, and they're making a fortune at this, is every time you bounce a check or you overdraft a check. So think about this. It starts with you being more financially responsible. If you're getting 0.5% on your $20,000 account, think about that. 1% on $20,000 is $200. 0.5% is $100. $100 over the course of the year is what you'll get on that bank account. But if you're getting charged $20 every time you overdraft a check, or you have a low balance fee, or there's some other fee, I bet there's a way that bank is recouping that $100 pretty quickly from you. And they're doing it on all the accounts. So that's what's scary right now. That's a very scary thing that's going on in America, all across America. You want to know another scary thing that's going on across America? There was a story about Rent-A-Center. I hope there's not many of you that are listening to this show, rely on Rent-A-Center or services like that for your goods and services. Did you know that Rent-A-Center is praying, but when I say not praying like religiously praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on your inability to get good credit? You want to buy a big screen TV? Sure, you can rent it for $40 a month or $80 a month. But when you're renting that TV, you're paying an interest rate of 20 to 30%. But you think, well, at least I got it. It's huge, huge. There was a story that appeared, I think it was in Money Magazine last week, that talked about people that were able to furnish their double-wide mobile home by buying couches and furniture and everything that they needed to fill their mobile home. And they were paying $200 a month for a sleep sofa, for a coffee table, for a big screen TV, for all this stuff. And if they were to buy it outright, the whole thing was going to cost something like $2,700. But if they continued to just rent it for 3 years, they would pay something like $7,000 for it. And Rent-A-Center is counting on that. You know why they're also counting on being able to charge such a high price? Because they know that there are a lot of people that will rent stuff and then never pay the rent on it and maybe take off with the furniture. So they got to build that into their program. But that's scary. If you've gotten to the point where you need to start renting furniture, I think it's time to reassess your financial situation. It really is. You got to get serious. That is the biggest ripoff in the world right now, is Rent-A-Center, my personal opinion. So beware of Rent-A-Center. And be cautious of what these fees might be. Here's a couple other scary financial mistakes that people can very easily make. Another one is simply just not being organized. If you don't know where everything is and what it's all worth, how can you get your financial house in order? How can you really know if you're making smart decisions? One of the things that I encourage people to do more than anything else is to just stop for an hour and a half, whatever it is, and try to write down everything that you own. I'm not talking about, you know, your Hummels. I'm talking about investments, financial assets, things that have value to them. So your 401k plan, your insurance policies. Write down the information regarding your pay stubs. Write down information about your homeowner's insurance, your automobile insurance. Get all that stuff together. And if you're finding it all that overwhelming to simply just write it all down, why don't you just grab it all together, put it in a bag, and call a financial planner. Call a certified financial planner. You can find a certified financial planner by visiting letsmakeaplan.org. That's letsmakeaplan.org. You call one up and they'll help you get your financial house in order. No, if you need debt counseling, that's probably a CFP is not the person to go to for debt counseling. A CFP wants to talk with you when you have positive cash flow, when there's more money coming into your household than is going out, when you've proven that you can actually put money aside and you've accumulated money, but you just don't know the right place to allocate it, how to position it, how to prepare your financial life for the future. That's when you need to go to letsmakeaplan.org and find a CFP. Here's another scary mistake that I see people are making right now. They're not saving enough for retirement. There was a picture that appeared in the New York Times last week by a guy by the name of Carl Richards. Carl has been made himself famous by basically doing sketches on cocktail napkins to better easily define a difficult concept. And what he drew, he asked the question, how much money did you spend on your last car? And then the other question is, how much money do you have in retirement accounts? And what was interesting is for many people that he asked, many people had spent more on their last car than they have cumulatively put together in their retirement accounts. Now, that's a scary assessment on the financial stability and well-being of America. I don't believe that that's the case here on the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley, and in the southern New Hampshire area. I see more and more people that are financially sustainable, that have done a good job, that have been responsible, been financially responsible. You've worked hard, you've put money aside, but now everything is scattered all over the place, and you need someone to be that quarterback, someone to help you and give you that guidance so you can put it all together and get some crystallization and understanding of where your financial life is so that you can prepare for the future. You can know where to take money out when it comes time for retirement. You can make smart financial decisions. I want to be able to help you with that. I hope we do this each and every Sunday on Dollars and Cents. But if you'd like to talk with me directly, you're more than welcome to give our office a call. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'll tell you, the best people who do really well at our office are people between the ages of 55 and 75. They're married. They plan to spend somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, and their total net worth, when they add it all up, including their house, their investment accounts, 401ks, everything, is somewhere between $500,000 and $2 million. You will find great success with us, but you can also go to letsmakeaplan.org and find a CFP if you'd like. It's been great being with you again this Sunday. We're back here each and every Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning. If you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter, it comes out every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. I encourage you to visit my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. You just click on the button that says sign up for the newsletter. You put your name in, put in your email address, and hopefully you'll grab that drop-down button and say, I heard you on North Shore 104.9. That's going to do it for us tonight. Today. Hopefully you remember to turn your clocks back. Hopefully you recognize what time it is right now. I'm heading off to the Patriots game this afternoon. Hope they do well. Hope you have a great weekend. I'll see you next Sunday. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.